From WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. A photograph is a secret about a secret. The more it tells you, the less you know. That's a quotation from the famous photographer Diane Arbus, who died in 1971. Does the sentiment hold true in the age of the internet? Do photographs still have the power to captivate? Today we talk to Baltimore artist and writer Mark Alice Durant, who has just published 27 Contexts, an anecdotal history in photography. The book is part memoir and part meditation on the role of photography in our lives. For Durant, it remains a moving medium.
Photographs surround us. We see hundreds of them, if not thousands, every day. Yet somehow they are distant or mysterious. They're both here and there.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. Today we're talking about photography. Baltimore artist and writer Mark Alice Durant recently came out with an unusual book titled 27 Contexts, an anecdotal history in photography. It is both an exploration of what photography means in our lives and a memoir. Mark Alice Durant is a professor in the Department of Visual Arts at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, and he's with me in the studio. Welcome to On the Record.
Nice to see you, Sheila.
So first I want to ask you about the structure of this book, 27 Contexts. There are 27 essays on topics ranging from the Hubble telescope to your father's service in the Korean War to one about Baltimore titled John Waters versus The Wire. What is your vision for this book?
I wanted to track my personal involvement in photography from my childhood obsession with my parents' wedding album all the way up through learning about photography, becoming a photographer, studying photography, writing about photography, teaching photography, not only on a personal level, but also I want to explore how photography has become sort of inextricably bound in our cultural life. So each one is a kind of self-contained essay exploring some aspect of how photography touches us personally and collectively. I wanted them to sort of add up to a kind of arc that described a life in photography, but each one is its own story.
You write at one point that you got into photography as a teenager basically because you were aimless and it gave you something to do with your hands. Is that really what there was to it?
Sure. I mean, it's a little more complicated than that. But basically, I was walking around as sort of wayward teenager in the early 70s, hanging out with my friends in Union Square, Somerville. I grew up in Medford, but I hung out a lot in Somerville.
Massachusetts.
Yes, exactly. And this, I found out he later called himself a media activist, approached us and wanted to know if we wanted to learn how to work a camera, how to do photography, how to print our own pictures. And I was 17 years old, and I just happened to be going to a Led Zeppelin concert that weekend. And he entrusted me with his camera and a roll of film, and he said, bring this back, and I'll show you how to develop the film. And so that was my first photographic experience, at least on a sort of semi-professional way with a serious camera, was photographing a Led Zeppelin concert in 1972, I guess it was.
What pulled you in? I mean, why did that become your life's work?
You know, I had been intrigued by photographs and photography and the role that they played in our lives. I mean, I wasn't conscious of that sort of language, but I was obsessed with photographs. I loved looking at my parents' photographs, photographs of long-lost relatives. There was just something about photographs, the window to another world, you know, their sort of connection to the past. And they're both sort of familiar and mysterious simultaneously. Photographs surround us. We see hundreds of them, if not thousands, every day. Yet somehow they are distant or mysterious. They're both here and there. So when a camera was put in my hand, it sort of transformed me from being not only a consumer of images, but a maker of images. And that was, I think, my way towards a future. I couldn't articulate it then, but I felt like this was a way forward.
You write, quote, "To photograph is a paradoxical act of prayer, a gesture toward the sanctity of the everyday that requires a temporary severing of that connection," end quote. What do you mean by that?
Well, in a sense that, you know, when you use a camera, you literally have a device between you and a thing that you're observing, the life around you. And so you have to have a kind of double consciousness where you're participating and you're there, but you're also separating yourself to observe. And I also think that when you decide to take a picture, you're basically suggesting that this moment is important. It's worth saving from the endless flow of time. And so it is a sense of prayer to the everyday, which this moment is sacred or important some way. But to save it, you need to remove yourself, at least temporarily, by looking through the camera, composing the picture, adjusting the aperture and the shutter speed, et cetera. So there's a sort of observational distance you have to attain to make that picture happen.
Is that distance the camera puts between you and the world part of its appeal to you?
That's a really good question. This is a question I've had a lot with other photographers over the years. I think it is. To be an artist, to some extent, requires a sense of distance, that you participate and observe simultaneously. And that's sort of a paradox. It doesn't mean that every moment is like that, but there are certain moments that occur. So that distance allows me to be thoughtful and contemplative in a moment that might be sort of transitory and ephemeral.
So later in the book, you pick up on a comment that Susan Sontag made, and you talk about how the photographer uses point of view to turn something that we might think is an objective process, like capturing a photograph, which is capturing an image as it exists in the world,
right. But
it becomes subjective because of the photographer's point of view.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think that is a sort of the essential phenomenon of photography. I mean, early on when photography was invented in the mid-19th century, the argument around it being art or not was like, how can a mechanical process be art? It's just a matter of optics and chemistry. But it really is about perspective, right? A camera literally has a point of view. You have to stand somewhere and point it, and point it at something. You have to compose it. So that composition inherently has a point of view that's subjective on the part of the operator, the camera operator. You know, there's a spectrum there. I mean, if you're a photojournalist and you're trying to capture something that's unfolding in real time, you probably want to be as sort of clear-sighted and have as less of yourself as possible in that image. But you know, inevitably, something leaks in. You notice what you notice because of your own subjectivity. And, you know, again, it's a spectrum there where somebody might be extremely subjective in terms of how they photograph and what they photograph, whereas even a photojournalist, you know, is subjective to the extent that he or she is making choices about when to release the shutter.
That's UMBC Visual Arts Professor Mark Alice Durant here on The Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about his new book, 27 Contexts, An Anecdotal History in Photography. I want to get back to, you mentioned your parents' photographs. Your first essay is about your parents' wedding album. Tell us about that album and what it meant to you as a child.
So as I write, it was the most elegant thing, by my estimation, in our house. It was this soft-covered, well, it was hardcover, but it had this sort of padded. Cover with this gold-embossed lettering saying, "Our Wedding." I mean, I'm sure thousands, if not millions, of albums said the exact same thing. But to me, it seemed very personal to my parents. And again, this sort of weird relationship that photography has to time. I was looking at my parents in a time before I existed. And they seemed so young and exuberant and elegant and beautiful and so full of hope and charm. And they were dressed in a way, because it was a wedding, that I didn't see them normally or ever. But it wasn't just about the rituals and the pictures of my family members, my aunts and uncles from before I was born, but it's also something about the aesthetics of it. The photographs are quite beautiful. So there's something about the tonality from the silvery whites to the deep blacks of my father's tuxedo that just drew me in. I just was fascinated by it. I think it was, in some ways, my sort of introduction to aesthetics, in a way.
Do you think those photographs helped you understand your parents in a way that you wouldn't have without them?
Oh, absolutely. Again, it's a sort of double-edged sword. On one hand, it helped me understand their youth and their vitality and their love for each other. On the other hand, there was a discrepancy between the photographs and the reality that I lived in. You know, we lived, you know, under duress to some extent, working class, and there wasn't a lot of money, and there was some economic insecurity. So the elegance of the wedding album was in opposition to the kind of threadbare existence that I found myself in.
So that was actually a point of confusion as opposed to a point of understanding.
Absolutely. So that's why I think photographs, or I think any art form that you get very deeply involved with, but for me, photography was the complexity of it. There's a very direct way that photographs communicate to us. Oh, there's my mom, and there's my dad on that day and that year. But then there are all these sort of connotative aspects to it where it means so many different other things. You can follow the narrative in different ways. It can suggest different things. And that narrative or that context changes to some extent depending on how I changed. You know, looking at those photographs when I was 5 was very different from looking at those photographs when I was 12.
And then your father took pictures as a Marine serving in the Korean War. You describe your relationship with him as distant, and you talk about trying to use those photographs of him at war to understand him better.
Right. All photographs are a kind of window to a time before us or a time in the past. And they can be, at least, the beginning of a kind of narrative or understanding of something or attempt to understand something. My relationship with my father was sort of initially was loving, but as time passed, he became more distant and our relationship became more contentious as I got older. I wanted to find him through those photographs. When he died, when I was 17 years old, especially then, I wanted those photographs to speak to me. I wanted to understand who he was in a way that I never understood him or could reach him when he was alive. So they became an obsession. I'd look at those photographs over and over again because he wasn't, as far as I could tell, somebody who was drawn to art or personal expression in any way. Yet these photographs that he took when he was a Marine in Korea, I thought were very sensitive. There are photographs of his friends, and they're very affectionate with one another. They're typical military photographs. But then these photographs of the landscape in Korea when he was fighting in the Korean War, and then most importantly, a series of photographs of Korean peasants, these encounters that he had with men working in the rice fields or Korean children walking down the path with these water jugs on their heads. And I was just completely fascinated by them. Clearly, he felt something for these people.
You write of one stage in your life, quote, "We staged miniature dramas for the sake of being photographed," end quote. Has the fact that you're a photographer shaped how you present yourself to the world?
I think that passage is from a chapter or an essay about being in my 20s and with my girlfriend. Photography was part of our relationship. We play acted and set up scenarios, and we came to know each other to some extent through photography and playing with photography. But there is a certain sense of performance for the camera that we all put on. But I am interested in the idea of like how we try to affect our own history or the record of our history by how we photograph ourselves. So even today with selfies and social media, we kind of make a version of our life. We perform it, and we only post the ones that look the best or the funniest or whatever it is. And in much of the serious photography, whether it's fashion or art or whatever, there is some serious performance going on there, the creation of images through gesture and lighting and composition, et cetera, that creates a kind of fiction. That's one of the reasons I love photography, is it has one foot in the documentary and one foot in storytelling or in fiction.
We need to take a quick break here. Mark Alice Durant is the author of 27 Contexts, An Anecdotal History in Photography. When we come back, we'll hear more about the book and personal essays. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. If you're just joining us, we're talking today about photography. My guest is UMBC visual arts professor Mark Alice Durant. He's the author of 27 Contexts, An Anecdotal History in Photography. The book is a memoir, also an examination of photography and its role in our lives. In one of your essays, you write about a photo you took of your mother paying her last respects to your aunt, her sister, her older sister. What impelled you to take that picture?
So just to give a little background, it's 2013 and my aunt Janice died, who is my godmother and my favorite aunt. When we were going to pay our last respects on the morning of the funeral, we were going went to the funeral home, and I walked my mother over to the coffin. It was an open casket. And I stepped back to let my mom have a few minutes to herself. And I was just looking over her shoulder. And without really thinking, I took out my phone and took a picture. And I felt immediately, I felt guilt or felt that I had sort of acted unethically on some level. It seemed inappropriate. And I sort of guiltily slipped the phone back into my pocket.
And your brother was angry about it.
So I turned around and my brother's over with the rest of the family mouthing, you know, an expletive like, what are you doing? And I couldn't really answer that question for myself. I think at the heart of photography is the ethics of representation. Like, photographs give us permission to look. Well, we think when we see a photograph, it's we have permission to look at this thing. But when the photographer takes the picture, did he or she have permission to look? And so it set me off on this investigation of the ethics of that. In the 19th century, postmortem photographs were very common. In many instances, a postmortem photograph was the only photograph you might have of a loved one. I'm talking about the 1840s, 50s, 60s, 70s, mm-hmm. where many people hadn't been photographed yet. To be photographed was a special occasion. People didn't have cameras to be photographed. You'd have to go down to the town center and find a photographer to make a picture. It was a big deal. And especially children, many children who might have died in the 1860s, 70s, might not have ever had a photograph made of them, right? So postmortem photographs were very popular and accepted on a cultural level. We think of it today as sort of morbid and strange. And so the ethics have changed around representation.
And do you think that's because there's no scarcity for most people of at least some photographs of them living? Is that why we are uncomfortable with photographs of the dead? Why have we changed?
I think at least two things happened. One is the invention of the Kodak Brownie in 1888. Suddenly, you could have a camera at home. So photographs became more part of our everyday life. And so photographs were more common, you know, first walks, children's birthdays, et cetera. There were many more photographs, which sort of democratized photography. It was no longer just a specialist kind of thing. And that was also simultaneous with the rise of this sort of modern funeral industry. And so bodies started to be carted away to a funeral home where undertakers would prepare the body. And it was less and less common for bodies to be waked in the home itself.
And so you think that changed our attitude toward photographs of the dead?
I think so. It certainly helped shift the attitudes. But I think over time, our notion of what's public and what's private, what's appropriate, what's inappropriate, changes according to the culture.
Well, is photography less elevated art than it was then?
I think the argument about whether photography is an art has been with photography since its inception. The terms change to some extent, but I do think that people still wonder whether it's an art form at the same level as sculpture and painting, for instance. There's no argument that photography has fundamentally changed contemporary art, that photography infuses and informs much of contemporary art. Everything from, you know, photography in the 19th century freeing painters from, you know, mimicking reality, or Andy Warhol. Andy Warhol's paintings and his silkscreens were photographic, you know, and they were really about how images are kind of make up the kind of stuff of our lives, a sort of infinite reproduction of images, whether it be Marilyn Monroe or Elvis Presley or a Brillo box or a Coke bottle, that images are the stuff of everyday life, of modern life.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with UMBC Visual Arts Professor Mark Alice Durant about his new book, 27 Contexts, An Anecdotal History in Photography. There is a lot of nostalgia in your book for pre-digital photography. Contact sheets, the smell of Fixer. You talk about the excitement of waiting to develop film. How do you feel about digital photography?
I don't have a strong feeling one way or the other. I'm not a Luddite. Photography's always been connected to technology, from daguerreotypes to tintypes to wet collodion prints or negatives in the 19th century to the invention of the snapshot camera with the Kodak Brownie 1928, around there, is the arrival of the 35-millimeter camera. And so I do think it changes our relationship to images, you know, the ubiquity of images, social media. I think the fact that you can see an image immediately on your screen as opposed to waiting to develop it, and et cetera, creates an immediacy. And some people really love that, that you don't have to wait for the results. And why do we need to wait? And I understand that. So I'm nostalgic to the extent that I really love the process of analog photography, but I'm not nostalgic in the sense that I think we need to return to it. I totally accept the digital world.
You describe literally falling down in the street once after seeing a photo in the paper documentary, The Massacre of Palestinians in Refugee Camps in Lebanon in the early 1980s. Why do you think that particular photo had such a dramatic effect on you?
I'm not sure. In that essay, I do try to explore that. Obviously, the archives of photography are filled with horrible images of massacres and tragedies. Why do some images get through to us and others leave us cold? Roland Barthes is a great writer about photography and many other things. Wrote a book called Camera Lucida. He developed two terms. One's called the studium and one's called the punctum. The studium is a sort of general interest. You know, I went to Paris, and so any photograph of Paris interests me. And the second term is more mysterious. He called it the punctum, which is, I think, a Latin term for piercing or wound. And what he meant was that certain images just cut through into our souls, and we can't always understand why. It's individual for every person, unique to every person. I was interested in trying to understand the Lebanese Civil War, but when I saw those photographs, I was just so deeply troubled and, I don't know, in a way, wounded by the piles of bodies in this alleyway. And I can't quite understand why, except that I understood at that moment that somehow we are led as humans to destroy others because we believe them to be images. There's some connection between photography and violence, political violence, that I had a kind of very primal understanding of in that moment, and it affected me on a physiological level.
As you mentioned, we are now inundated with images throughout the day, courtesy of the internet. You pose a question at the end of your book, quote, "Can a single photograph still seize our attention?" Close quote. How do you answer that?
Well, I try to answer it with the final picture in the book. The final essay is about many things, but it touches upon the Freddie Gray uprising or demonstrations in Baltimore a couple of years ago, and on a particular photograph by a man named Josh Sin, who is a UMBC graduate and spends a lot of time photographing on the streets of Baltimore. And that photograph is so beautiful, and it doesn't deflect or avoid the sort of intensity of that moment of young men demonstrating on the streets of Baltimore against police violence. Yet at the same time, that photograph is so filled with light, suffused with a beautiful light, and the image, the expression on his face is both insistent and open. There's a kind of, you know, tenderness to it, and also an insistence that his anger is real and justified. And for me, that photograph does stop me, despite the fact that I saw it on social media, right? I was just scrolling, and I saw that image, and it did stop me. So in a way, I was answering my own question, but I do think it's a question that each one of us has to ask, right? How do photographs function in our lives? Are they just sort of throwaway images? They're transitory? Or can photographs still cause us to pause and to think about what our responsibility is to each other, publicly and personally?
I wish you good luck with the book.
Thank you so much.
It's a beautiful book. Mark Alice Durant is the author of 27 Contexts, an Anecdotal History in Photography. He's also a professor in the Department of Visual Arts at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. Tomorrow night, Atomic Books will host a release party for the book from 7 to 9 p.m. We have a link with details at the On the Record page at wypr.org. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Thanks for joining us this morning. Tune in tomorrow.